everybody
towards first year, you get seeing those commercials about being thin. Well, we're making it this morning. We're thin. I know we got a lot sick. I can't even try to name all of them. I'll try to name a few. Rudy and Peggy, I think, are doing some better, so thank God for that. Peggy and Charlie are still sick.
Peggy is in the hospital. Remember her. I texted her this morning and said she was feeling a little better, so maybe she'll gain some strength and get better soon. Do you remember Charlie also? We got Brandy and them back today. They're out of quarantine, out of lockdown. Many throughout our community that we all know and neighbors are really sick. I know remember the Yakeley family. If that hasn't changed, they've got three family members on ventilators. So be in prayer for those. They are really standing in our prayers this morning. And there's many, many others. I can't start to name them all. I don't want to leave any out, but pray for them. Of course, continue to remember Jane and Jackie. Pray they stay safe. I pray that, I know we've complained and complained about 2020. It has been tough, but God has also blessed. We have seen great blessings this year. I know it's hard to sit and look at all the people that's sick and think about that, but God has really blessed us. He's continued to bless. Maybe in the next few months we'll really see things turn around with COVID virus. I know God's will is going to be done. It's given to us for a reason. I think the reason was to get us to understand that He's in control and we can control nothing. And we got to completely rely on Him. And I pray that's what we do in this upcoming year. This is the last Sunday of 2020. Next time we're here, we'll be talking about what a great year this is going to be. 2021 is going to be great. And it's because God's still in control. He's not left us. So do we have any prayer requests that I hadn't mentioned? I'm sure we do. Anybody? Remember them. Any others? Remember her. Any others? Just remember our church family this upcoming year. Remember, just pray that God would really use us in the community. I think we're going to have opportunities. Looking forward to things opening up, maybe in the as we get on towards spring and different things. So main thing is to try to stay encouraged, try to stay upbeat. I know it's easy to get discouraged right now, but just understand, we talked about it in our Sunday school lesson, that God's in control. Even situations look like they're out of control. He's not lost one bit. Nothing's confused Him. So thanks be to God for that. We'll go, Lord, in prayer, and we'll start our worship service. Father, we thank You today for Your many blessings. We thank You for Your Son coming to die for us, and the best gift that was given for us. God, we thank You that You offered that freely for us. Lord, we ask You to be with all of our sick, not just here, but all throughout our community, in our state, in our country, in the world. God, there are so many that are sick right now. Lord, we ask You to remove this virus. It be Your will to take it off our land, God, and heal our people. God, as we have those that are close to us in the hospitals, we ask You to heal their bodies. We ask You to take care of the nurses and the doctors who will take care of them. Give them the knowledge to do this and the best way to care for them. Lord, we pray for the families who are hurting without them this Christmas season, how different things was. And God, not just those that are physically sick, but those that suffer mentally with depression or whatever the situation may be, I ask You to let them see there is light, and that light is You. Lord, we ask You to go with us through this service, to open our hearts and minds that we may receive Your word. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope this thing lights. Anybody got another one? There we go.
Our hearts on the Lord of peace who came down from heaven in the form of a baby. God knows knows that we are in a constant battle against fear. Fear wants to cripple us, to push us to react rather than carefully respond. And fear steals our joy. God has given us the gift of peace so we can live joy-filled lives. Would you pray today that God's unexplainable peace would be evident in your heart and home? This year, we have all faced so much chaos and uncertainty. God's peace is something we need to grab tightly onto more than ever. May God's Spirit transform our days into a time to joyfully celebrate our King. This fourth candle of Advent is called the Angel Candle and symbolizes peace. This name comes from the fact that the angels announced that Jesus came to bring peace. May it remind us that Jesus came to bring peace to our hearts and to our world. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today, this last day of the year, Lord. I know that we can look back and see a lot of things that did bring uncertainty, Lord, but we see your peace throughout the whole year and your hand upon us, Lord. I pray that as we go into the next year, that we will focus on you and focus on your peace, Lord, and that actually brings peace is when we focus on you, we focus on that joy, and we just have ease in the chaos, Lord, because we stand on your truth, Lord. Just thank you for everything you've done, Lord. I pray that as this upcoming year that all of us will just seek in our hearts, Lord, something that you would have us to do, just like Kim said this morning, to share her story, Lord, and Chad talked about truth, and just may all of us just seek and search our hearts and what you would have changed about us. Lord, let us be that light so that we can tell others about your joy and your peace. Go with our service today, Lord. I pray that you will just open minds and open hearts, and that we will forget about other things and focus on you and what you would have us to do today. Lord, I pray that you will just do something that we wouldn't expect, that this would be an unexpected service, Lord, because we are letting you lead it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Stand and sing with us this morning.
Compassionate friend. God, how I need you.
Amen. There's never been a truer song than that today, for sure. We stand in need of Him. We finished up Christmas Eve night about our Remember Me series of Remembering Jesus. Today, I don't know if it's going to be a series. It may just be one message. We'll see. But I want you to remember something else. I want you to remember who you are. That's something we should never forget, is who we are, where we come from, what we've been through. And it helps us sometimes to even reflect of what we have been brought from. I know we get so guilty of thinking that we are maybe righteous or perfect or whatever, but I want you to remember today that you, at one point of your life, and I hope you're not there now, but at one point you was lost and undone without God. You were a mess. You were no good. By the way, this sermon is not going to help your ego. It's not going to help your self-esteem, probably. I hope it does at the end, but halfway through, you're going to think, my gosh, He hates us. But I don't. I love you, and I thank God for you, and I want to help you, and I want the upcoming year to be a year that we are not stagnant, that we are not held down, that we truly begin to see that why God saved us and what He's got a desire for us to do, and that's what I hope to bring forth to you this upcoming year. But first, I think you need to understand and remember who you are. Colossians chapter number 2, verses 6 through 10. Gives us a good understanding about where we are in Christ and about how we got to this point. The scripture says in Colossians 2, verses 6, says, "You have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Boy, verse number 10 ought to make a shout. "And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Father, we thank You today for this word. We thank You for the words that help us, and God, even thank You for the words that hurt sometimes. God, I pray that You let us see today who we are and remember who we are, and that remembering this, we'll be grateful for what You have brought us from and what You have given us. Lord, we thank You, and we ask You to heal all the ones in our congregation that are sick. Heal all the ones in our community, Lord, and touch them in a mighty way. Lord, we pray that as we go into 2021, that You use us mightily. In some way, God, You just put it on our heart to be what You have us to be in our land. And these blessings we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So remembering who you are. You know, it's easy to look around and see who everybody else is. Ain't it so fun to do that? Look around and see, you know, you can go to the mall, especially this time of year, and man, you can see some doozies. You can see some things you might not want to see. But you look around, you think about all that they are, and you look and you think, well, they need to do this, and they need to do that, and if they done this, they would look a little bit better, and if they would act this way, they'd be a little bit better, and you think about all the things they need to do to improve, but what about looking at you? It's not fun to look at us, but remember who you are. Number one, I want you to remember how you received Him. Remember how you received Him. It tells us this in its scripture. It says, having received Christ. So do you remember the day that you received Him? Do you remember that day? I want you to remember. I'm not talking about the day that you was baptized in the water up here. I'm talking about, do you remember the day that you asked Him into your heart? Do you remember that day? Do you remember the feelings of that day? Do you remember, and you know I preach against feelings a lot, but do you remember how excited you was? Do you remember that you had to tell somebody? Do you remember that you, everything, all the colors looked brighter outside, everything was better, you just couldn't find nothing wrong that day? But we know the next day, old Satan began coming in a little bit, but I want you to go back to that day that you found Christ and remember who you were. Remember how you changed. Remember what you was brought from. Because my friend, if there's not a day that you can do that, then guess what? According to the Word of God, then you don't belong to Him. There must have been a time. There must have been a time that you received Him. And listen, the Bible says that when you were lost and undone, no hope and aliens, separated from God's people and God Himself. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, 13. Listen to this. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Boy, is that not a bad picture. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So here you was without Jesus, you was undone. You was no good. You was a mess. You was completely separated from God. You were separated from everything to do with God. And you had one destination, and that destination was eternal separation from God, which is a place called hell. So you absolutely was in a mess. You didn't know what to do. You couldn't know what to do because you had no guidance. You had no direction. And here God comes along and offers you this, and you receive it, and your world is turned around. But remember who you were. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 11. You ain't going to like this one at all. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infamous, nor abusers of themselves was mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Ooh, that's rough, wasn't it? But such were some of you, but ye are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Such were some of you. You say, wait a minute now. I've never been all those things. Yes, you have. We have all fell into that at some place in there. Such as these was some of us. My friends, I don't care how good you think you was. Without Jesus Christ, you were separated from God. And you were the worst of the worst. You was ugly. You was undone. Your righteousness was a filthy rag. You was worth nothing. And then you received Christ. You remember that day? You remember how great it was. It's hard to think of ourselves in that way. But without Jesus, that's just what you was. Yeah, you was a complete blob, if you want to think of it that way. Something completely separated you was absolutely no good. I think it helps to stop and see where we was and where we've been brought from. Remember I said stop and see. Do not stay there, but you need to stop and see. There's times you need to go back and remember what God brought you from. There's times you need to go back and remember what you would be without God. Now, you don't need to stay there in the guilt and the shame and all that stuff. You need to go forward. But, my friend, it helps you to know what you was brought from and what you have been delivered from, and that will help you to go forward. You know how when you lose weight or you get on an exercise program, you know what keeps you encouraged? And they make fun of me for looking in the mirror, but if you don't tell yourself you look good, nobody else will. But you need to look sometimes and see where you've come from. Now, if you start working out and all these, you don't need to step on a scale because you'll completely get discouraged quickly. But if you are getting in better shape, you need to pay attention to some things and you will be encouraged. And I think nothing should help us more in our spiritual walk than to look and see where we have come. And this brings us to the second point. Remember what he has taught you. Colossians 2, verse 7. It says, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I think every day we should be learning and learning experience for us. We should be learning daily about the Word of God. You should take time to communicate with God. You should read the Word of God. You should pray. You should have time that you get alone with Him. You should have time that you read His Word. And you should have this time that's just spent between you and Him. And if you do that, I promise you something, you will begin to grow. And you will begin to be learning about your faith. I put this down. And it hurt me as much as it did anybody else. Many Christians know very little about what they claim to be their most prized possession. You see, if I ask you what was the most important gift you've ever been given because you are self-righteous and we're in church, you would say Jesus Christ. You would say Jesus Christ. And I'd say, what's the most important thing to you? And us church people would say, well, our faith in Jesus is our most important thing. Now, the day I was saved, that's the most important event in my life. Let me ask you this. What do you enjoy? Do you enjoy football? If you enjoy Alabama football, then most of you know a lot of history about Alabama football. Everybody in here knows who the former coach was forever at Alabama. Coach Barry Bryant, we all know that, don't we? If you like Auburn football, you knew about Pat Dye. If you're really into football, you know all the players, you know all the numbers, you know all the plays, you know what they're going to do next, you know what defense they're going to get in when they come on the field. You know all these things. You could bring out a trivia cards full of Alabama football and we could all ace it. You used to go to church with a guy in Lineville. You could ask who was the quarterback of the 1973 team that played in such and such bowl, and he can tell you what the score was in which quarter. He knew it that close. But listen, most Christians today know absolutely nothing about their most prized possession. Most people know absolutely nothing about what we say is our most important to us, is our belief in Jesus Christ. We can ask you questions about the Bible, or somebody can, and you would struggle to answer those questions. I do this myself. And if this is the most important thing to me, shouldn't I know a little bit of something about it? If I'm going to be a bass fisherman, you know how I get better, be a better fisherman? I learn all the lures. I learn what they do, what type of water they work best in, what I need to use when it's this temperature, that temperature. If the water's muddy, if the water's clear, on a cold day, hot day, whatever time of day it is, I need to know all about it if I'm going to be successful. For some reason, we think we can be successful in our Christian walk with Jesus by simply picking up the Bible on Sunday and coming to church, hearing me yell and scream for a little bit, and it's not that way. If you're going to do that, then you're going to be in the same place next year you was this year. Do you want to go forward, or do you want to stay in the same place? Then you must do what the Bible says, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught. You've been taught. Listen, I believe we've got great teachers here. I believe we've got good opportunities for everybody. But the bottom line of it is, you got to participate. You got to be in this thing if you're going to get anything out of it. I don't care who the football coaches are, who the basketball coaches are, or the baseball coaches, or anything else you want to think about. If you are not partaking in it and being part of it, then you're not going to get any better. You're not going to become anything. You're going to stay where you was when you started. Most Christian people, even 50 years into their walk with Christ, is the same place they was the day they were saved. Because they never pick up their Bible, they never get on their knees and pray, they never ask God for directions, they never follow all this, they come to church on Sunday, maybe some Wednesday night, maybe some Sunday nights, but they come just when they do that, they never pick up the Word of God, they never learn any more about it, and here they are, the rudiments of the world can come in and tell them anything, and guess what they'll do? Follow right after them. Why? Because they're not established. They are not rooted. You know what Jesus taught about the seeds, don't you? Some fell on the hard ground. Some fell on the good ground. Those that's on the sandy ground that just barely take a little bit of root, something can come by and they'll be pulled up easily. Or they'll be blown over easily because they're not rooted. This is what is wrong in our nation today. And it's our fault as leaders. It's our fault as mothers and daddies. It's our fault as preachers even that we've worried more about programs of how to get people than we are teaching them the Word of God. If you are taught the Word of God, then this thing is rooted and you are established in the faith and you are sure. Do you realize this? That most people who leave their homes and go off to college or go off to wherever they do when they leave mom and daddy, very few of them remain in the faith. You know why? Because they've not been taught, they've not been rooted, and they've not been established in the faith. They have saw what mamas and daddies have done. They come to church, they act good, they do this thing. When they get home, they live like the devil, never pick up the Bible again until it's time to come back to church. And then we all get moan and groan and say, I wonder why she turned out that way. I wonder why he did this. I wonder why he's not in church today. I'll tell you why it is. Because he has not been taught and has not been established. Rooted and built up in him as you have been taught. The only way you'll be rooted in Him, unless you are not rooted, you cannot build. You have no foundation. Jesus talks a lot about simple things we can understand. He talks about a man building a house. He says, we don't build upon sand. We build upon rocks. Because we know that if we build upon sand, that the floods will come and it'll wash the house off the foundation because there really wasn't a foundation. You see, that's what's wrong, and the reason we wonder why people is not in churches, the only thing I can tell you is I don't believe they ever had a foundation. I don't believe they ever was rooted. I don't believe that was ever, as old people say, I don't believe it ever took. I don't believe they ever repented of their sin, was truly saved, because the Bible says if you'd been one of us, you would have continued with us. Maybe not at New Harmony, but you would be in a church somewhere doing something for God. Remember what you have been taught. Thirdly, remember to be ready to defend your belief. I don't want to be a downer, but I want to tell you the truth. I believe in the upcoming future, very near future, we're, as Christians, are going to have to defend our faith like we never have. I'm not talking about just on Facebook. I'm talking about in real life. I'm talking about it could even come to the point within 4 years where we might have to fight and struggle to be able to come here legally. You say that's hogwash. I don't believe it. Oh, really? You didn't believe in Alabama 10 years ago. Two men could get married either legally, did you? It can happen now. You didn't believe that before our last President Trump got into office, that in Texas, that there was already in one big city, the mayor was asking for the sermons before they was preached on Sunday morning so she could proofread them. Be ready to defend your belief. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Know what you believe and stand on it. I'm not talking about when your friends come and say, well, you mean the Bible may say this? Well, you don't believe that because it's 2021 or 2020 that maybe this is really what the Bible meant? Absolutely not. You stand on the Word of God, you don't move any, and you don't take any other authority than the Word of God to be the truth. I told him I think this is going to be my word this year, is truth. I'm seeing it everywhere. Our Sunday school lesson about truth. Stephanie bought me a book about truth. And the writer in the book says that the reason our country is where it is because we have no absolute truth. You think this thing's true. He thinks this thing's true. She thinks that's true. They think that's true. And they become to have their own truths, and there's no absolute truth. But we know there's an absolute truth, and it's Jesus Christ. And you better be ready to defend it. You better be ready to tell all men why you believe what you believe. And what's so sad today is that most of us in the God's house even cannot do this. We don't know why we believe what we believe. We just come and because we're part of it. What do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Do you believe that he came and died, that all men may be offered the opportunity of salvation? Do you believe that he's on the right hand of the Father? Do you believe that he was born of a virgin? Do you believe that he was lived a perfect life, never with even one sin? I don't care what Da Vinci Code and all that says. What do you believe? Do you believe that he is the only way that you'll ever be right with God? Do you believe that today he is alive and he's on the right hand of the Father? Or do you believe, like some others believe, that he was just a great teacher? Just a great teacher ain't going to do it. You must believe that he is the very Son of God and that he came to seek and to save those which was lost. He lived and he died and he rose from the grave ever victorious. What do you believe? What do you believe? Be ready to defend it. As a follower of Christ, you have a great responsibility to show the world what you believe. You ain't got to walk around with it on your shirt. It's great to do that. If you want to, I'm fine with it. You ain't got to put a bumper sticker on your car. But let me tell you this. If you're going to wear a shirt with it, if you're going to put a bumper sticker on your car, then you better be living what you say you're living. You know why? Because you got eyeballs all over you. They're looking at you all the time and they're seeing if you really believe what you say you believe. I see it on cars all the time. These people that run, they'll go buy them stickers that say 13-1 or 26-1 or whatever it is, 26-2, whatever you get in a marathon. They'll put all these stickers on there. Probably half of them have never done that. We're guilty about this. We'll be associated with things because we like it. What do you believe today? And do you believe it strong enough to defend it? Do you believe it strong enough that even in a crowd of people, listen, it's easy here today. Today, in a group of believers, it's easy to stand for Jesus and to say that I believe it and I stand on it. But when you're at work or you're at school or wherever you're at, do you still believe what you say you believe when you're here? Ready to defend it. Fourthly, remember that you lack nothing. Remember this, you lack absolutely nothing. I don't care what the world tells you. I don't care what anybody tells you you're missing. Because that is what the Satan does, and he hasn't changed his ways and since he became a being, and he will never change because we are so gullible that we fall right in there. You know how people come to have their families separated because they had an affair? Because Satan shows them what they're missing. You know how people come to steal from a company and are put in jail because he shows them what they could have. They have more money. Now you know how they become corrupt in politics because he shows them power. We as human beings, we always focus on what we don't have. Well, if I was a little taller, I would be this. Well, if I was a little stronger, then I could do this. And the girls say, if I was a little prettier, then I could do this. If I was smaller, if I was bigger, we go on and on about what we are lacking. May I tell you today that if you are in Christ Jesus, my friend, you lack nothing. Amen. You are perfect. You say, well, you don't live with me. No, I don't. And I know fleshly you're not perfect. But you lack absolutely nothing. The Bible teaches that you was formed by God and put into your mother's womb, and he created you with the personalities and the traits to be what it is he warned you to be. And for some reason, we think that's not good enough. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't try to take care of your bodies, because I believe we should. I believe we should try to eat the right things at times. I believe we ought to enjoy some things at times also. I believe we should, nothing wrong with getting a little exercise, nothing wrong with this. It says it profits a little bit. It don't say it's a ruler, it says it profits a little. So I believe there's nothing wrong with this. But I believe also maybe you should step back and look and say, well, I'm short, and or I'm fat, or I'm skinny, or I'm tall, or whatever your situation may be, or I've got hair, or I don't have hair, and we can go all along. And maybe you should stop at some time and say, you know what? I'm exactly what God made me, and I lack nothing. If you tell somebody something long enough, they'll finally start believing it. And the enemy will tell you how much you are not. How many times a day does Satan tell you all that? It's okay. He tells you that you did, but the reason you're where you're at, because you are missing this. The reason you don't have this in your life, because you are missing that. Everything you're missing. So he leads you to believe that God has left you without something. Well, if you believe that, then you do not believe the Word of God, because the Word I just read you said you are complete in Him. You lack nothing. Remember, next time He comes and tells you that, He is a liar and a thief. The Bible says He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. It's up to you who you'll believe. It's up to you that who you'll see is right. It's up to you that to realize that God made you perfect, and God, after He redeemed you and you received Him into your life, that you are a perfect being with God and you lack absolutely nothing. And that's why it says be rooted and grounded, so when the rudiments of the world comes and the deceivers come, that you won't fall in there. Everybody's searching for something spiritually, because there's a hole in us that is missing something. Why do you think, and I'm going to call his name, Joel Osteen is so successful in what he does? Because he builds people up. He tells them, he smiles with them big old teeth, and he tells them how great they are, and that they are just everything they're ever going to need, and that it's going to be okay, and just come on out here to this football stadium, let's fill it up, and put your money in the plate. The truth of the matter is, God's Word is tough. And if you preach God's Word the way it's meant to be preached, then you probably are not going to fill up a football stadium, because not many people want to hear that they are a mess. Not many people want to admit that without God they're nothing. Not many people want to admit that they need a Savior. You see, we have been taught in this country for so long that you need to have great self-esteem. You need to understand who your self-worth and all this. And I believe you need to think that sometimes. But I also believe you need to realize that without God you are nothing. But with Him you are everything. There's two great contrasts there. If you listen to Satan enough, you will soon believe it. You'll soon come to believe it. You can take a woman or a man who is in a relationship, and they can be talked down to, they can be treated badly, and before long you'll see a change start even in their, the way they look. They'll start going towards that thing that they're told. A child is the same way. Church today, it's starting especially in this upcoming year, we need to realize who we are. We need to realize what's been done. We need to remember what we was. We need to remember what we've been brought from. And we need to be ready to tell the world who Jesus is. Who He is. 2020 has been tough. We need to head into this new year realizing who we are and who we have for us. I just read you scripture that said that in Him dwelleth all fullness of the Godhead bodily, and I am complete in Him. And I read to you where that B part of that verse says, He is the head of all principality and all power. Now I have been living in a nation who is all shook up, and we should be. We have people dying in our communities. We have people next door neighbors to where I work right now on a ventilator, younger than me, probably by 10 years. But listen, I cannot forget who I have and what He's doing, and that He is perfect, and that He's ahead of all principality and all power. I want you to remember this. You either were or are a sinner. And being that, you are separated from God. But if you've received Him, you've been reconciled back to this man who is all-powerful in principalities and over everything. Because of that, you are everything. He has kept you. He has saved you. How can we believe a God that does that is not able to finish what He started? I don't know what your ending is. I don't know what my ending is. But I know who's in control of it. And I know that nothing can change His plan for my life. I can take every vaccine from here to Africa. If it's God's will that I leave this walk of life because of COVID, it's going to happen. I'm not saying go out and be dumb. Well, you know I don't teach that. But I am teaching it's time that we go forward and understand that God is with us and nobody can be against us. And it's time that we understand who I was. And it's time that we understand of how I need to understand more of the Word of God. Don't listen to anything new. It's right here. It's right here. You're going to be bombarded. This is just a warning for you. And if I'm wrong, I hope I am. The next 4 years, you're going to be bombarded with new truths of what they say is true. Because they're wanting to change your way of thinking. Because what we stand on is not going to be popular. We've already seen it. Will you stand? Will you remember who you are? When you look in the mirror, will you remember who you are? I'm not talking about who you are to me, who you are to your wife even, but who you are in the eyes of God. If He loved you enough to send His only begotten Son, then you are special. Not only are you special, you are preserved. And you are His best. He loves you so much that He gave the whole world for you. Everything he did, everything he created was for me and you. Will you remember that? And be strengthened by it. And let it be the fuel for you going forward. If everyone would please stand. Pat, if you'd come play something. I don't know today anybody's heart. You say, well, the same crowd's here every Sunday like you would. I don't know that. You can fool me all you want to. Do you remember a time that you asked Jesus into your heart? Are you daily learning more about him? If I asked you something about him tomorrow, would you be able to tell me more than you do today? Are you ready to defend your belief in him? Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? Not what I tell you to believe, but do you know what you are to believe and to believe it? And do you remember that you lack absolutely nothing? You are complete in him. As she begins playing, I don't know. That's all I need to say, know to say about this upcoming year. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to bring. COVID may be the least of our worries by this time next year. I don't know. But I do know who I am. And I do know what he brought me from. And I pray that he gives me the boldness to be able to stand. I was thinking last night, what do I believe? You know, it takes a lot of faith to believe in a God we can't see. It takes a lot of faith to believe in a Savior we can't touch. So I was thinking, what do I believe? Do I have some doubts? I sure do. You do too. I remembered the guy in the scripture that said, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's my prayer for each one of us. That we know him, but he helps us know him more. That's available to you. If each one of us will commit to 2021, to reading our Bibles and to praying, and we say this every year, but we'll see a different year. Obviously, we haven't done it yet. Will you do it this year? Remember who you are and let it be fuel to draw you closer to him because of what he's done. Because without him, you would be nothing. With him, you're everything. If you need to come today, you come for any reason.